You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The Garden Report is brought to you by FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Network.
Hey, Bobby Manning here. Welcome to the Garden Report. Celtics beat the Pelicans 118-112.
Great win.
With a 17-point come-from-behind effort. Big runs throughout the second half, started by 10-2 for the Celtics. Pelicans punched back 6-0. Celtics went on a big run. Pelicans went 19-5 to take an 11-point lead. And then the Celtics flipped the game on its head completely, going from down 11 to up 11. On a 33-11 run to close the game.
Derek White,
a big part of it. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, the three-point shooting emerged. Great pace and defensive stops on Zion Williamson, who they held to one basket over seven possessions with the ball in his hands after a hot start to the fourth. So this one, Joe Sway, I think an example of this team going into a lull, shooting poorly, probably getting down on themselves a little bit, maybe playing a little loose on the defensive end, right, and then picking themselves up after halftime and playing with some incredible effort. You know, when this place is exploding, the Garden crowd's appreciating this team's effort, and they showed that in the second half.
It sounded like a playoff game in here, especially when Derek White hit that three that put them ahead by two, but it took a lot for them to get there and then get back there, right, Bobby? I think that's the part that impresses me the most, because they eliminated the 17-point deficit, but all of a sudden the Pelicans went right back up. They went on a run. You know, all of a sudden it's back to double digits, but the Celtics never wavered. You know what I mean? Their effort stayed the same on defense. Offensively, I love the way they were executing, because they were attacking the rim at all costs, but finding guys at the perimeter for those open looks. Al Horford hit a couple of big three-pointers. Derek White, of course, in that fourth quarter. So I just love the fact that the Celtics never switched up. They never had that sense of desperation. They stayed the course, and all of a sudden they get to this, you know, double digit lead with only a couple minutes left in the fourth, and the Pelicans just looked exhausted. They looked defeated, and that's exactly what happens when you're, again, you stay the course, you stick to your game plan, and of course the effort is at a level where the Pelicans have to respond, right? And I felt like the back and forth, the Celtics, they didn't change their approach. They never got frustrated with how things were going, and for that reason, especially get led by Tatum and Brown on both ends, right, especially on the defensive end of the floor, getting those stops, I thought that it was huge. It made all the difference.
Zion did praise that crowd, blame self-inflicted turnovers for the loss, and Joe Mazzulla, both before the game and after the game, obviously coming off the Clippers game, went on a long explanation about this team's mentality and how they can't expect to win every game, how they can't expect to not go through issues, and he said even after the game that he hopes they go through something like this 10 more times to be able to learn from it. Said that you don't come out of last game angry, but whether you're angry, whether you're happy, you got to be ready for that next game, and just trying to instill that consistency mindset in this team. Here's Jaylen Brown talking a little bit about that message from his coach in the locker room.
It's a full season. It's a full body of work you got to account for. Night in and night out, you got guys that's not playing, you got guys that's tired, mentally fatigued, all different type of stuff going on in people's lives. Every night we try to come out and put our best foot forward, you know, make sure it's part of my responsibility to make sure our guys is ready to go. Regardless of any of the other, you know, outside things, we don't really make no excuses, but, you know, it's tough, you know. You got to come out and be the best version of yourself every single night, and that's what the city demands, but that's what we demand of ourselves as well.
New customers join today and you get $200 in bonus bets if your first bet of $5 or more wins. Just visit FanDuel.com/Boston to sign up. That's FanDuel.com/Boston. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
So, whether it's family stuff, whether it's just mental fatigue, boredom, and I think that's maybe one of the biggest things that this team's going through after its hot start. Mazzulla said it. You expect to win every game after a certain point.
You think they're at that point, though? You think boredom is what it is?
Definitely.
I don't know. I feel like a lot of the times is the narrative that Joe Mazzulla talked about, the sense of entitlement. Sure, that narrative is out there. Oh, you have the best record in the NBA. Oh, this team has this record, so that means you're supposed to be leading the entire way, which obviously isn't the case in the NBA, right?
I mean, every game. Yeah.
Right. And you've seen teams like the Pistons beat teams they had no business of beating throughout the course of an 82-game series. That type of things, that type of stuff happens. I think with Joe Mazzulla, it's confused about, or not confused about, rather, I feel like when the Celtics make these huge comeback wins, I feel like he doesn't want his team to think that they did something incredible. I think he wants them to know that, like, this thing happens more often than other people talk about. But I think there's a difference between a 17-point come-from-behind win and being down 12 or 10, you know what I mean?
Especially against a good team like this.
Right, exactly. Especially against a good team like this. And again, like we said at the top of the video, I mean, look, the fact that the Celtics, they didn't change their game plan, they made it about them and what kind of adjustment that they need to make, instead of saying, like, oh, we have to match their, you know what I mean? We have to match the Pelicans by, you know, shooting a whole lot of threes because, you know, they finished with 17 in this one. But it wasn't about necessarily switching up, you know, their game plan. It was about doubling down on what they know is going to work. And I honestly believe it's resistance at the rim, you know, attacking the paint offensively, making sure there's ball movement as well, but also getting great, clean looks. And like Mazzulla said after this game, I mean, you look at a lot of those missed shots, and they were clean looks. They weren't taking terrible shots. And I feel like when the Celtics are focused like that, it's anyone's ball game, even if they're down by double digits. So I feel like that's what he was trying to instill. But I also understand that he doesn't want his team to fall into that narrative that, oh, you know, if you're down by 13 or 14, then something went horribly wrong, and, you know, it's incredible that they're able to come back and win it. So I get what he's trying to say. I get the message he's trying to relay. But I also think Mazzulla forgets that a lot of the time throughout the course of an 82-game season, I mean, like, seeing that pattern continue is what builds a narrative as, like, oh, these guys give away big, you know, big leads, or they can't close out games, which was the narrative of last year or year before.
Yeah, that was a big part last year.
But I don't think that's carried over into this year. But I get what he's trying to do.
No, they've run up games. That Chicago won, the best example, the in-season tournament game. And right. He said they need to learn from that, and I think they did in some games that followed that. They're certainly not bored going up to Milwaukee earlier this month, the Clippers game. It's a big one. I don't know if it was national TV. It probably was, but those are marquee games against opposing stars, like tonight was. So maybe it's fatigue. It's probably not an excuse for Clippers coming in on back-to-back, but I just think it's where they stand. They've proven a lot. They've accomplished a lot in terms of what they want to do this year. They've seen what they're like at their best, at full strength, when shots are falling. And I think what they lost probably in some of those bad losses this month were the little things. The offensive rebounding tonight, the defensive pressure on Zion late was incredible, especially from the stars, and shot totals, turnovers. They had some awful turnovers early in this game, but they cleaned it up, and I was surprised to see they're number two in turnover rate this month in terms of having the fewest. So getting back to doing those little things, I think, is what keeps them in games through these lulls. 24% three-point shooting in the first half, and then that turns around. And, you know, even a guy like Derek White, who Joe talked about after the game, never put his head down in terms of what he was doing defensively, passing the ball. I thought he did that well early in this game. We got to talk to him this morning. He said, tighten up your mechanics a little bit, go back to the basics, but you don't make things too complicated. And I think that's probably emblematic of this team too. You're not rewriting things trying to figure out how you went down by 10 at halftime in this game, or how you got behind against the Bucks or some of these other teams. It's just about doing things that you've already done.
And,
you know, Joe said to Derek midway through this game, you shouldn't have any doubt. You know this is what you're capable of, what you did earlier in the
year. And I love that he brought out White. And, of course, I love the fact that he got out of his slump at just the right time in this fourth quarter, hitting, you know, big three-point shots, getting into the paint, that floater off the glass I thought was huge.
Really just big finish.
Game-changing stuff. And I love that he uses Derek White as an example, because he kind of personifies what we're talking about here, right? In a sense of keep it remaining confident.
And Derek's not bored.
And Derek's not bored, but I love when Mazzulla talks about how the great sign of confidence is an offensive player like Derek, who can have slumped at times, but his confidence, the biggest sign that he remains confident is that he continues to give you that effort on the defensive end of the floor. That says a lot, because I feel like naturally, if you're in your own head, you can't get over what happened, you know, on the offensive end of the floor. You can't get over, oh, man, I missed three in a row. Oh, man, like, I got to find my shot. You know, that's going to disrupt your defense. But that's never the case with Derek White. So I like that Mazzulla brings that up, because it's like, well, wait a minute. You know, when Gary asked him about, you know, the sense of confidence in players that are in the NBA, you know, the ones that can miss 30 in a row and still be confident, whereas Derek White may not be one of those guys. And he's like, well, wait a minute. No, Derek White's so as confident to those guys because he shows it on the defensive end of the floor. The offense is going to catch up at one point or another, and I think Derek White is finding out that, especially this season. So that confidence doesn't waver for Derek White. He may go into these slumps every so often, but the confidence is it's still strong.
He wore a bucket hat tonight as well. That usually doesn't come out until later.
I know you were loving that, and especially because it's not even playoff time. But yeah, hey, maybe it's the ball head. Maybe he's like, you know what, I can dust this thing off well before the playoffs.
Mazzulla deserves credit for this, I think. The X's and O's, the playoff preparedness. We'll get to that eventually. But for now, he's kept this team engaged. He's kept them consistent, not losing any more than two in a row this year. Tonight, another example of that. Just an excruciating loss against the Clippers. And you come back tonight, which could have marked two in a row through the bad first half. And they built on that into the second half and closed this game in a great way. I love the fourth quarter of this game. We're back here tomorrow. Another test for the Celtics, another back-to-back against a really good Pacers team. So that fortitude will be tested again. Josue and I will have more coverage throughout the week. And we will talk to you again here on Celtics All Access. Make sure you subscribe for more segments, as well as CLNS Media for all the post-game reactions. Some good stuff from Zion and Tatum after this one. Go check that out. For Josue Pavone, Bobby Manning, Celtics beat the Pelicans 118-112.
Go to HelloFresh.com/CLNSFree and use the code CLNSFree for free breakfast for life. That's one breakfast item per box while subscription is active. That's free breakfast for life at HelloFresh.com/CLNSFree with code CLNSFree.